Today we talk about 15 to 23 because it is impossible to break it from 15 to 23. From 15, he say, for this reason, for what reason? Remember, I mentioned it in from 1 to 12, talk about we, starting from 13, right? Talk about you, right? So for this reason, so 1:14, the two key thing, we have the spirit of sonship, guarantee that we are the son of God. 1:5, right? And then we have the spirit of inheritance, guarantee we're gonna be the heir of God, co-heir with Christ, right? So for this reason, because you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, that Spirit, according to Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit Himself, together with our spirit, testify that we are Son of God. So we have the spirit of sonship. We not only have the spirit of sonship, we also have the spirit of inheritance. Right? When we're going to inherit the inheritance, the glorious inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possession. In other words, until all the Jewish people are redeemed, then we Gentile, together with the Jewish people, we're going to inherit the inheritance. That is, you write that down, until the redemption of those in 1:14, you write down 3:6. This mystery, the mystery of Christ through the gospel, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentile are heirs together with Israel, members together in the body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So until the Jewish people turn to God and believe in Jesus Christ, at that time, the Gentile believer and the Jewish believer will inherit the glorious inheritance in Christ Jesus. So until that day, we will get it. So for this reason, so not only we get it, you get it too. So in verse 15, for this reason, because not only the apostle, not only the prophet get that kind of blessing, not only the holy people in the Old Testament, holy people in the New Testament get that, now you get it too. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, when you have faith in the Lord Jesus, then you are marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, right? Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and heard about your love in the saints, you write down in verse 15, you write down in the faith, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, you write that down, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And then I heard about your love in the saints, you write down Ephesians 2:10. Let me pray first. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children. And I pray that you also open the eyes of your children so that we are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, so that we understand what we hear. Not only help us to remember what we learn, and help us to put it into practice. And help us to share the gospel clearly to our friends, to our relatives, and to our classmates. I pray that you set aside tonight and bless each and every one of us so that we all get blessing from you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For this reason, for the reason that we have the Holy Spirit, that is guarantee our sonship, the Holy Spirit guarantee our inheritance. For this reason, you also have the Holy Spirit. Not only we have the Holy Spirit, you also have the Holy Spirit. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love in the saint, your love in the saint, what did I say? I say that you write it down 2:10, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, what's the good work that God desired us to do? Love the saint. You understand? Love one another. That's the kind of work God wants us to do. When you have faith in the Lord Jesus, you have redemption. For it is, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by work, salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. What kind of good work we are talking about? To love one another. So that's why Paul saying, ever since I heard about your love for all the saints. When he found out that you not only believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, you start growing. You know, as a children, we always want to get things from the parents. We never thinking, oh, mother, you are so hardworking. Let me help you to wash dishes. Have you ever helped your mother to wash dishes? You have? Yeah. Really? Give me five. You do too?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So ever since I heard about your love for the saint, ever since I heard about your love for your mother. Hey, Michael, did you ever help your mother to do housework? You don't have to look at her. You look at me. You answer the question. Okay. Often? You have to be asked to do it, or you just voluntarily to do it? Out of a willing heart?
I
wash
dishes.
Did you crack it? Did you break it? No. Okay, that's good. So for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love in the saint, and what did Paul say? I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Paul had not stopped giving thanks. Paul continues giving thanks to God for the brother and sister, for the saint in Ephesus, the faithful one in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they not only have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have love in the saint. You circle the word faith, your faith, and your love. If you only have faith in the Lord Jesus, and you have no love in the saint, your faith is a dead faith. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus, and have love for all the saints, your faith is a living faith. That faith can save you. You write that down in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, the last verse of chapter 2. Daniel, could you read that? A body without the spirit is a dead body. Faith without thee is a dead faith. That doesn't save you. 2:26. Daniel Fung. James chapter 2 verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You write down. Right beside James chapter 2 verse 25. you write down Ephesians 1:15. The saint in Ephesus, the faithful one in Christ Jesus, they not only have faith in the Lord Jesus, they have love for the saint. Your love for the saint. So we have to ask ourselves, is our faith a living faith? Will our faith save ourselves? Because it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Do you have this kind of faith? A living faith. A faith that can save your life. Daniel, read it. Daniel Fung.
As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Faith without deeds. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, what kind of deed is that? Your love for all the saints. You got that? So you write that down. Underline your faith in the Lord and underline your love for all the saints. Underline that. And then you write down James chapter 2, verse what? 26. That's the reason why Paul keep giving thanks to God for the saint in Ephesus, remembering you in my prayer. You know, if a pastor to a church, those brother and sister have living faith. When the pastor pray for the church on your behalf, the pastor can keep praising God for what you people have done. If you are just a Sunday Christian and going to the church, you don't even love brother and sister, you don't even want to serve them, you better change. Because when your pastor pray for you, remembering you in your prayer, he cannot stop. He cannot keep praising God on your behalf. You understand? Paul saying that, ever since I've ever heard about your faith and your love, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. You make the pastor very happy. Sad. If you make your pastor sad, doesn't do you any good. You write that down. Right beside verse 16. What happened if I make my pastor sad? Hebrew chapter 13. Daniel, could you read it? Daniel Toon. Chapter 13. Verse 17.
Obey your leader and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. So that would be of no advantage to you.
If you don't make the leader happy when they remember you in your prayer, how can they pray to God? They can't give thanks on your behalf. Should we start serving in the church? So your faith is a living faith, right? Let everyone see your good deed so that they can bring glory to the Heavenly Father. For they change your life. You not only have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you also have love for all the saints. Paul saying that I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And then because Paul saw that they grow in Christ, that's why I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation Can anyone tell me why Paul prayed like that? And he know that. Paul know that when he prayed like that, God will answer his prayer. Can anyone give me the answer? The answer is in chapter 3. Anyone knows? Did anyone memorize up to chapter 3? Daniel? You memorize up to chapter 3? Okay, what's the answer? How come Paul, in verse 17, how come Paul saying, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Why would Paul pray like that? Ask God to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Why would he pray like that? How would he know that when he pray like that, God will answer him? The reason why Paul understand the will of God, the reason why Paul understand the mystery of Christ, is because the Holy Spirit revealed the mystery of Christ to him. The Holy Spirit revealed the mystery of Christ to him. That is recorded in verse 3 to verse 5. Joshua, could you read that? 3 to 5. So you write that down? 1:17. When Paul pray like that, I know when Paul pray like that, God going to answer his prayer. Because God not only loved Paul, Apostle Paul, God also loved the saint in Ephesus. Now, I believe that God also loved the saint in the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta. That's why. That's why Paul pray like that. God is impartial. God doesn't show favoritism. How God blessed Paul in those days 2,000 years ago by reveal his will, his mystery to him so that he make known to the Gentile. Now, Paul also pray that we understand God's will through the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can make known to all our friends and relatives. You understand? If we do not understand God's will, how can we share the gospel? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Josh? You read 3:3 to 3:5.
That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. Reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to me in other generations, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets.
Paul realized that the reason why he understands God's will, Paul realized the only way he understands the mystery of Christ is not because he's well-versed, he studied the Bible all the time. No, it's because God showed mercy to him by giving him the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Freely giving it to him. And he know that God, Paul know that that's how God be gracious to him, give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he also pray, oh Lord, don't not just give it to me. Give it to Jennifer also. Is it bad? Is it good? You want God to give it to you? Then you better start praying then. You better start memorizing them. Otherwise you don't even know. Right? Sometimes you say, oh, how do I know when I pray like this? How do I know God will answer? I know God will answer because God doesn't show favoritism. He's impartial. He not only blessed Apostle John, Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter in those days, he also blessed you, Moses. You know what, Moses, if you don't memorize it, you don't even know, man. You're going to be left behind. Write that down. 1:17, you write down 3:3 to 3:5. Daniel, could you read that? 3:3 to 3:5 again. Yeah. Hey, I remember, hey, Where's Gabriel? He's so scared of playing the piano or what? He's at school. Why he's at school? I think I remember saying that last week, say, to sing the song, right? We not only get the spirit of sonship, we also get the spirit of inheritance, right? Something like that, right? I think I remember that. Oh, man. So one of these days, I'm going to start learning piano, right? So could you read that 3:3, 3:5?
That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets.
That's why Paul knows the mystery of Christ. That's why Paul knows God's will. And in the same way, he prayed, because he see that the saints in Ephesus are the faithful ones in Christ Jesus, because they have faith in the Lord Jesus and have love for all the saints. And he's not only giving thanks for you to God, remembering you in his prayer. He keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. In verse 13 and 14, you know him. How do you know him? When you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Ever since then, you know him, but you only know him very, very little. Just like a child knows very little about his or her parents. But as you grow older, especially when you go to work, especially when you establish your own family, then you know it's very difficult to raise a family. Then you start to know him. You understand? It's not good enough to know very little about Jesus Christ. That's why Paul keep praying. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know him very little. But once you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you start to know him better. Look at me. It is not good enough to have words 13 and 14. You were also included in Christ. It's not good enough. Okay? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, that is not good enough. That's not what the Bible say. If that is what the Bible say, we shouldn't even talk about verse 15 to 23. And that's exactly a lot of pastors talk about only 1 to 14. They don't talk about 15 to 23. Because he himself don't even know. We should know God. We should know Jesus a lot better. We should grow in our knowledge. Do me a favor. Read the second last book. Jude. Second last book, Jude. Right before Revelation, verse 20. Daniel, could you read that? 20 to 21. Okay.
But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life.
What did you exhort us to do, encourage us to do? Verse 20.
Build yourselves up in your most holy faith.
How can you build yourself up in your most holy faith if you don't read the Bible? You understand what I'm trying to say? Listening is not good enough. You have to build yourself up at home. You have to start memorizing it. And secondly, you have to pray in the Holy Spirit. I can't help you to pray. You have to pray for yourself. And thirdly, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. You have to keep yourself in God's love. How do I keep myself in God's love? Just like what the church in Ephesus 1:15. Ever since I heard about your love for all the saints, you love brother and sister. You start serving them, right? But nowadays, a lot of Christians wasn't like that. We better turn around. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Jerry, 3:18.
But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be Him glory both now and forever. Amen.
What did He ask you to do? Grows in the grace? Did you grow in your grace? Did you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him better? You know, you have to grow. Right? It is not good enough to be say, I'm a son of God. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a born-again Christian. That's not good enough. Can you imagine, you know, if your knowledge is just a 3 years old boy? You grieve your parents if your knowledge is only 3 years old. But now you are what, 16, right? You are 14, right? So if you are 14 years old, but your knowledge is only 3 years old, is it good or is it bad? It's no good. So we have to grow in the grace and also grow in the what? Moses? Grow in faith, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love. Love brother and sister. That's the sign of your growth. It's a growing pain. It's painful to love another people. That's not of your own. Right? And the Bible also say, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Isn't it the prayer that Paul prayed for the church? Is helping the church to grow in faith, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it? I keep asking that. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Without that, forget it. You won't know Him better. You won't grow. Because the spirit of wisdom and revelation is a growing agency. Help you to grow faster. Without that, you won't. That's the way Paul grew in the faith, in his most holy faith. Does it make sense, Daniel? So what should we pray for ourselves? Pray for verse 17, right? Let's read it together, verse 17. All the way to 18. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. It's not good enough to have the spirit of sonship. It's not good enough to have the spirit of inheritance. And now Paul prayed that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So there's four descriptions of the spirit now. The first one, in verse 5, the spirit of what? Of sonship. The first one, in verse 5. The verse 11, the spirit of inheritance. Now verse 17, the spirit of what? Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and revelation. Ask God to reveal his will to you so that you may know him better. Once you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know three things. If you know those three things, then you know him better. Without knowing those three things, you still do not know him. First thing, in verse 18, you write that down number one. Circle the word, the hope. You write down number one. The first thing Paul wants you to know. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Once you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, your eyes may be enlightened. In order that you may know, number one, the hope to which he has called you. When God calls you to be his son, he gives you the glorious hope. Can anyone tell me what this hope is all about? What's that hope?
One hope
to be like Jesus. Wow, Daniel. Oh, I like you. Yeah, good. Good boy. You write that down. You write that down. 4-4, that's one hope. One hope is the hope. Every time you see the Bible, the way, I'm the way, the life, that means there's no other way. The only way, one way. Okay? There's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And Paul saying that, I want you to know the hope. The hope, according to 4-4, is one hope. You are called to one hope. You are called to the hope, no other hope. What is that hope? That hope is, you write down, 4-4. Moses, could you read that to me, 4-4? Okay, one body, one spirit, and one hope. If your body is so filled with the spirit of sonship, so filled with the spirit of inheritance, so filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then you have that glorious hope to be like Jesus Christ. And right beside this one, you write down 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, 2 and 3. Donald, I want you to read that loudly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3.
Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is.
Circle the word, this hope. This hope is the hope and one hope. What's that hope? Circle the word this hope. I want Joyce to read that again. 3, 2, and 3.
3, 2, and 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
This hope is like him. Circle them. Circle the word this hope and circle the word like him. I show it to you. Three, two. This hope tied together. Circle the word this hope and circle the word like him and link it together. That's the hope we have. One hope. One body, one spirit, and one hope. And this hope. And the hope. When we study scripture, when we believe in Jesus Christ, God has one hope on you when he called you. He wants you to be like Jesus Christ. Whatever God has blessed Jesus Christ, he wants to bless you. He wants you to live like Jesus Christ. That's what I mean. That's what Paul means. So that you may know him better. You don't even know, right? All this year you go to the church. People don't even know. Waste of time. Hey, I heard that when I'm not around, you go to another church.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Why?
Listen to Simon.
You weren't there that Wednesday at that prayer meeting.
Listen to me. According to Matthew chapter 23, I don't care what the Pharisees say. Pharisee, according to Jesus' teaching, you listen to what Pharisee has said as long as he opened the Bible and read the scripture. If you do not listen to what he say, you deny your faith. You don't follow his footstep. Because Pharisee can only teach. He never do it. You read that. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, until I tell you to stop.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach."
Don't follow his footstep. But what he say is from the scripture. You listen. Because what he say is God's word. If he didn't say what God say, you ignore it. If he say what God say, you deny him, you're not denying him. You deny God who give you the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 8. So that's why Paul saying that. That's why Paul saying to the church in Thessalonians, if you deny what I say, you not deny man, you deny God who give you the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 8. Read that.
Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit.
Unless that pastor tell you something else. If he tell you something else, you should challenge him. You say, "Pastor, I'm sorry. It's the first time I've ever heard of that. Why are you saying what you're saying? Prove it to me. Is it your understanding or God's word?" But if he say God's word, you denying him. You denying God who give you the Holy Spirit. Anyway, go back. Once you know three things, then you get to know him better. The first thing, number one, the hope to which he has called you. What's that hope? That's the glorious hope. One hope. He wants you to speak like Jesus, act like Jesus, love like Jesus, talk like Jesus. He just wants you to be like Jesus. Do I make myself clear? That's the hope. You're not just coming to the church Sunday. Oh, I listen to this pastor. I don't listen to the other pastor. You don't pick and choose. You go to the church so that your life be changed like Jesus. I tell you one thing. When Jesus, at the age of 12, he listened to the Pharisee. He listened to the teacher of the law. He challenged him. He said, "Why are you saying what you're saying? Do you understand what you're saying?" And then he explained to the teacher what is the true meaning of God's word. And those who hear Jesus saying, they were astonished. How come you get that kind of wisdom? You understand? Even though you hear a pastor, he's no good, you can still challenge him. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they don't read the Bible. The pastor say garbage thing, you don't even know. You just absorb it. I bet Daniel, you don't even heard of that today. The hope that he has called you is to be like Jesus. It's one hope, no other thing. That's the entire Bible teaching us to be like him. I prove that to you. Go to Philippians. Chapter 1. I heard a good deal about Daniel. Daniel, you come to the church. Although I'm not in Edmonton, but my spirit is in Edmonton. And I someone tell me it's the first time the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta in the South Side with great music. It's about time. Come on, give me a break. Okay? And when I come back, I was cheer up. I'm happy. Christopher is good. I know he's good. You're good, right? But you're not as good as he is in piano, right? You should practice it. That's what I mean. I'm not saying you're no good. You are not as good as he is. I want you to be better than he is. Okay, now you know how to sing. You know how to play piano. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you just sing to the congregation. Right? When they're sleeping, just sing it. Unfortunately, Pastor John cannot sing it, you know. That's really bad, you know. You know, if I see people sleeping, sleepyhead, I just sing and sing and sing, and then they wake up, right? Okay, where am I now? Philippians, okay. Go back to Philippians. Chapter 1. Verse 20. Could you read that, Daniel? Tune? Philippians 1:20.
I usually expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death.
Verse 21.
For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
To live is Christ. What does he mean? When he live, when people look at him, he don't see Paul. He sees Jesus Christ live in him. Then to die is to gain. If I see Daniel Tun, I don't see Christ in your life. That's not what God called you for. He called you to that one hope. To be what? Like him. To live is Christ and to die is gain. And then what else did he say? He said, now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. Christ will be exalted in my body. That means Christ magnified in my life and I minimize in myself. What he really means, just exactly what John the Baptist say. Go back to Gospel of John. Chapter 3, verse 30, Jesus Christ must become greater, I must become less. That's what he means. That's what he means, that's the hope. We all have this hope, one hope, no other hope. If I'm like Christ, I will reign like Christ, I will be glorified like Christ, I will be honored like Christ, and I will be rewarded like Christ. That's the reason why God called you. Does it make sense? Do I make myself clear? Moses, do you hear? Does it encourage your heart? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He called you to what? To be like Jesus Christ. And you write down, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 30. Jesus Christ must become greater and I must become less. You write that down. Okay? You also write that down right beside 3:30, Gospel of John. You write down Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Circle the word, the hope. That's the hope. That's the hope. Hope is something that you have already get it or you haven't get it yet. Donald, hope is something you have already attained or you haven't attained it yet.
No.
You haven't get it yet, right? So that's why we hope for it. If I get it already, I don't have to hope for it. You understand? Jin, do you understand what I'm trying to say? We haven't get it yet. But that's the goal. That's the direction. That is our destiny. Right? David, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Christopher, do you understand? He wants you to be like Jesus. Okay? Did Jesus beat people up? You don't beat people up, okay? You don't poke people. You love people. You die for your friend. You got that? That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that God called you to. God called you not only to be God's son, God called you to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. You write down Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8:29. Those God foreknew, He predestined. Those He predestined, He called. Though He called, He justified. Though He justified, He glorified. 8:29. You write that down, Romans 8:29. Write down beside the hope. Write down beside the hope, what do you write down? 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 30. So I will ask you, you know, once I write it down, I will ask you, what do you write down, okay? And then you write down Romans 8:29. What else did I say? Philippians 1, 20 to 21. And what else did I say? Ephesians 4:4. Moses, what did I say? Write down right beside the hope.
Ephesians 4:4, 1 John 3:2-3.
Okay, Ephesians 4:4, what's the hope stand for?
To be like Christ.
No. Ephesians 4:4 is not like Christ. The hope stand for
to hope to be, one body, one spirit.
One hope. The hope stand for one hope. Okay? 4:4 is what? One body, one spirit, and one hope. The hope stand for one hope. Only one hope we have, okay? Listen to me. If you have that hope, only one hope, you get everything. You lose that hope, you lose everything. Apart from Christ, you get nothing. Because salvation is in Him, glory is in Him, honor is in Him, knowledge in Him, wisdom in Him, understanding in Him, revelation in Him, riches and honor are in Him. Apart from Christ, you'll be a poor guy. Chapter 2, verse 13, you were excluded from Christ. You are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, you get nothing. You are foreigner and alien to the promise of Israel. You get nothing. You live in this world without hope and without God. That's the hope we have. It's one hope, to be like what? So what else do you write down, Moses? No, 1 John first. What's 1 John 3, 2 and 3? What's the hope stand for?
That we shall be like him.
The hope stand for this hope. This hope stand for like him. Circle the word. Show me your Bible, okay, you guys? Here, hold on a second. Like him, you circle this word, this hope, and that's the hope, there's one hope. You write that down in here. 4-4. So what do you mean? Get to 3-3. 3-2 and 3. So what do you mean? Then it was, so turn to 3-3 and 3-2 and 3. So what to me? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Give me a pen. Where? Okay, you circle that. And tie this together. And tie it together. This hope is this hope. And I write down Ephesians 4:4. And write down Ephesians. Right beside chapter 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, you write down Ephesians 4:4, Ephesians 1:18. Next week I'm gonna ask you the question, okay? Because these are the most important subject that we got to know. We got to know, so that we can know him better. And then you write down Romans 8:29, and then you write down Philippians 1:20-21. I want to stop here first. That's the assignment you got to do. Next week I'm going to ask that. Okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you help us to know you better by knowing the glorious hope, the hope, one hope, this hope that you have called us to. Oh, how I want to be like Jesus, just like what the hymn book is saying. We want to live like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and walk like Jesus so that people can bring glory to our Heavenly Father, because the glorious Father has already given us the spirit of sonship and spirit of inheritance and spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. Lord, I pray you enable us to live like Jesus Christ, because that's the glorious hope that we have ever had. In Christ Jesus, we get everything. Apart from him, we live in this world without God and without hope. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.